Welcome into another week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJAN, our chance to take a look at eight area high school football matchups. We've got the usual crew here with you, Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, and myself, Chris Parks. I want to thank Ag Business Associates and Rush CPA and Associates for bringing you Who's Gonna Win each week. We'll take a look at how we did last week and then dive into week seven picks right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA and Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look back at week number six. Kind of a mixed bag. We had an interesting week. After we were done with the program, we kind of both mentioned, Jim and I were sitting here and said, I don't know if that's ever happened where we've had seven out of the eight games where we had a limb pick on our sheet. That's probably first on Who's Going to Win program, but it kind of went all over the place, as you would expect with that. The first game we had on the sheet was one that we had across the board. We all had the Audubon Wheelers at home against Coon Rapids Bayard, and we all got that one right. 37-12 final there as Wheelers win it. Cam was a 52-12 winner on the road over Woodbine. That was a winner for everybody but Matt. He went out on a limb on that one, and the homecoming crowd was not successful there for the Tigers, Matt. Sorry.
No, they were not. Yeah, it's okay. We'll get by.
All right. And the next one was another eight-man game. Stanton-Essex, 82-54 over Griswold. We all had that one except for Jim. He went out on a limb with Griswold there. And next one, he got the limb pick, though, as Riverside was a 24-6 winner at home over Nottoway Valley. That was a winner just for Jim. Everybody else was wrong there. Trainer, 24-20. They edge one out late with a late score over Underwood, and that was a winner for Matt. He went on a limb on that one. The rest of us had Underwood in that ball game. ACGC held on for a tight win over Clarinda, 14-7 the final there. We were all winners except for Doug. He went on that limb on that one. For the second straight week, Doug also had a limb pick with Harlan as they went on the road to Glenwood. It was a close game, but Glenwood gets the win, 28-21 the final there. So everybody else but Doug had the Rams in that one. And it was OABCIG with a 28-7 win over Atlantic. That was a winner for everybody but Doug as well. He went on a limb there with the Trojans. So it was 6-2 weeks for everyone except Doug. He goes 3-5. Those limbers kind of crashing down there at the end of the sheet.
Listen,
there.
Doug's not very smart at picking football games. That's apparently what we figured out, huh? Hey, you got to go out on a limb sometimes.
You do. You got to take a chance.
Thank maybe not three times in a
Thank
row.
Thank goodness this whole sports betting thing in Iowa didn't trickle down to high school.
I know.
So our overall standings look like this now. Jim's still out in front here by a game at 36-12. I'm at 35-13. Doug's at 32-16, and Matt at 30-18 there. So that's how the standings look overall here as we head into week number seven. All right, we're going to get after week seven picks now as we'll start off with a couple of eight-man District 7 contests. We've got a Mills County battle to get it rolling here for us first. East Mills goes on the road to take on Fremont Mills, a couple of teams with just one loss so far on the season, and we're going to make our top prognosticator, Jim, start it off here with this one.
All right, I'm protesting, though. I think the Mills County kids should go first on this one, but it's just my opinion. Apparently, it's only my opinion.
Yeah, but the Mills County school I went to is not involved, so.
But didn't you live in the Fremont Mills district?
I did for the last couple of years.
Yeah. So there you go. So, see?
I'm following you.
I guess I'm not going to win this argument, so I'm just going to move on. Did I see the schedule right? Is this the last game of the year for East Mills? Is that for real? I mean, I know they played a week zero game, but they're done after this week already. They've won six in a row, had a couple of close calls with Lamoni and Stanton Essex. And then you got Fremont Mills on the other side. they've only played four games so far. I don't think you could find a stranger setup between two teams this point in time of the year with regard to the scheduling. And in addition, even though it's only their fifth game of the year, it's the last home game of the year for Fremont Mills. Yeah. The schedule that I saw.
Yeah, they only had three home games all season.
Yeah.
And they had like a three-week break.
Yeah, a two-week break,
two-week,
yeah.
It's just kind of a wacky matchup when you look at it and all. And there, you know, there are playoff implications on the line on top of all that. I think Fremont Mills is the better ball club, though. I think they're just a little more solid right now. They're playing at home. I think that they've had a nice enough break in the schedule to give them an opportunity to kind of work through stuff and be prepared. Yeah, I think Fremont Mills wins this one at home. Should be a good ball game, though.
All right, it's one for the Knights. Doug?
Yeah, I'd be excited to watch a couple talented players there. I think East Mills' quarterback is having a great season this year, 1,800 yards passing, 350 yards rushing. So he will be a force to be reckoned with, I think, for Fremont Mills. But they're going to counter with Seth Malcolm, and I think he's a ball player. So, you know, you look at some of the scores. Audubon thumped East Mills at the beginning of the year, and then they've run off six in a row. But that game was not very close. Fremont Mills was a little bit more competitive against Audubon, and so I'm going to take the home team.
All right, it's another there for Fremont Mills. Matt?
Okay, well, yeah, definitely an interesting ball game for everything you guys have said. Another aspect to it is, you know, is Fremont Mills going to be able to have their quarterback? You know, is he going to be able to play this week? And so that's a big question mark for them, and bringing in the young sophomore in there. They might have to rely on Malcolm a lot more than what's needed. He can definitely carry the load. The one thing that really stood out to me was East Mills' defense. I think they've got about 16 takeaways on the season between fumbles and interceptions. So I am actually, just because of, I think, you know, East Mills has just been playing each week, been getting better. And, you know, Fremont Mills sat those couple weeks. They've got a couple of big games yet coming down the road. I'm going to go with East Mills, probably a little bit of a mild upset, I think.
All right. It's one there for the Wolverines. This is a very interesting game, and I think it's become a lot more interesting here these last couple of weeks. Last week was pretty surprising with Fremont Mills on how they kind of let Bedford just hang around with them throughout that game, whereas I thought that score would be a little bit wider apart. It definitely is Seth Malcolm. It's on his shoulders for Fremont Mills. He's definitely the guy. He's the one that they turn to on offense and needs to get it done for them. Hochschild, even when he is, you know, for sure healthy, is not a guy that they turn to a lot. They don't want to throw the ball a lot. They just haven't done that. And then you look on the other side, East Mills, that's what they want to do. They want to throw it down the field. Nick Dyson is a very dynamic player. I was very impressed with him in that opening week zero game against Audubon. He's a guy that's going to score on everybody they play. This one does worry me a little bit. Normally I'd say Fremont Mills without any hesitation. This one worries me a little bit because I think East Mills maybe sees this as an opportunity that, hey, maybe we can finally, you know, snag one against these guys. They haven't had a lot of historical success, but it being at home and giving Coach Christensen some extra time during the season to try to figure some things out, I think is going to help them, and I'm going to take Fremont Mills here to eke one out. It should be a good ball game, though.
And we start with a limb pick.
There we go. We just pick right up where we left.
No all change. Olympics all the time.
That's all we do on the show. All right, we've got another one here in 8-man District 7 to take a look at. And it's two teams with identical records so far, 2-4, as Sydney goes on the road to take on Stanton Essex. And, Doug, you get first look here at this one.
Well, just looking through quick stats and the results of the games, it appears to me that Sydney is offensively challenged. They don't seem to put up a lot of yards on the ground or through the air. And I like what Stanton Essex has in their quarterback. He's got over almost 2,000 yards of total offense this year. So I'm going to take the home team, Stanton Essex.
All right. It's one there for the Vikings. Matt?
Well, I think this is another game that's pretty tough to call. You know, up front, a lot of offense, defense there that's similar. But I think this time of the season, I think you got to go with which way your team's trending. And I think Stanton Essex is trending upward. Sydney's just kind of been stagnant through there. Like Doug said, you know, they haven't been able to put up the numbers. You know, with the weather that's coming up this week, I think it comes down to defenses in there. And I think Stanton Essex has that edge as well.
All right, it's another one there for Stanton Essex. Yeah, this is another game. I think at the beginning of the season, you just looked at the overall teams, and you probably would have said, you know, Sydney would have an advantage here. But, You know, they've kind of been a little bit dinged up here and there. We saw a couple players get hurt in that game that we called down there against Griswold. And, you know, they were able to put up some offense, but they also pretty easily gave up a lot of offense as well. And I think that's what's going to be a downfall here against the Stanton-Essex team. Keegan Day, he counted for 11 touchdowns last week in that game against Griswold. That's just an outrageous stat. And, of course, same kind of story. You know, Fremont Mills runs through Seth Malcolm. Stanton-Essex is going to run through Keegan Day. He's the guy that does it all for them through the air and on the ground. But he's been pretty efficient. And like Matt said, they're kind of trending in an upward direction. So I'll give them the edge as well. I'm going to go with Stanton-Essex. Jim.
All right. There'll be no limb pick here. Right. Thomas Wilson's a big dude for Sydney, but, you know, they haven't figured out a way to get him into the end zone yet. And they just don't, like you guys had already talked about, I don't think they have enough playmakers right now that are able to utilize the resources that they do have. And Stanton-Essex seems to be fairly steady. And they have, I think they have enough to get this one.
All right, so that's Stanton-Essex across the board in that ball game. We've got one more eight-man game to pick. We'll do that after we take this time out.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win. Let's continue on with our picks here this week. We'll go to 8-man District 8, as this will be our broadcast game here tonight. The Cam Cougars are at home to take on the Boyer Valley Bulldogs. Matt, who's gonna win?
Well, I'm going to go with the Cam Cougars. They were very impressive in their victory last week on the road up at Woodbine. Spotted Woodbine, the Tigers, a couple of touchdowns, and after that it was all Cougars. Their defense was relentless last week, put a lot of pressure on that highly potent offense that the Tigers have. Put a lot of pressure on them, really changed things up, and were able to snuff them out. And on the other side of the ball, they just run the ball very well. They're very physical up front. They just do a lot of little things nice and correctly. So I'm going to go with the Cougars at home.
All right, one there for the Cougars. And interestingly enough, the first RPI rankings out after last week's games, and Cam Cougars are in the top spot right now in the RPI there in 8-man. So they're off to obviously a good start. We knew last week was going to kind of be one of those first big litmus tests for them, and they came through with flying colors. They've got two good backs they can hand the balls off to in Speaker and Tickner. They've just been efficient and haven't, made a lot of mistakes. And I think, especially in this game, they're just going to go out there and kind of, play their game and stick to what they know and keep it simple, and they'll have a lot of success here against this Boyer Valley squad. So I'm going to go with Cam as well. Jim?
I'm going to go out on a limb pick here and say that there won't be a limb pick. Cam. I'm going to save you time on the program today. Okay. Cam, that's okay. All I got.
All right. Doug?
I'm going to say Booyer. Booyer. I just like saying
you
Booyer.
Just want to say that.
I don't think they're going to win, but I think Booyer is a neat word. They started out with a bang. They scored 72 points in their first game, and they've scored a total of 74 since that time. So Cam is talented, and they're going to win.
All right, Cougars across the board there in that one. And once again, that will be our game tonight. Join us here after the program. Mike Smith will be along with me for the broadcast as we'll get going at 6:30 pregame, 7:00 kick there at Cam. It's also their Tackle Hunger Night, so if anybody's coming out, they're taking donations for the local food pantries. Also, we'll move on now to Class A District 9. We've got AHSTW going on the road to take on Nottoway Valley. A couple teams, pretty similar spot in their season as well. 3-3 for the Vikings and 3-4 for Nottoway Valley. I guess I get first look here at this one. You look at these two teams, they have played a couple of common opponents, and, you know, games don't tell you too much, but AHSDW's had a little bit more success in some of those games. Nottoway Valley at times has struggled. You know, last week that game at Riverside we kind of thought would maybe be a toss-up game, but they really struggled getting any kind of offense going in that one. Their quarterback, Nate Russell, who they really rely on, was just 5 of 12 in that ball game last week. And then AHSTW, you know, they're still figuring it out. They have a propensity to turn the ball over. That's been one of their big problems. But Denver Poly's a solid back for them. I think they have enough to get the road win here this week, so I'm going to go with the Vikings. Jim?
Yeah, you know, inconsistent at times for AHSTW this year. I think they're a little better than their record shows. But, you know, funny thing is both these teams, they either win close games or they lose big. There's just no in-between with either one of them. I think if AHSTW does a decent job of protecting the football and valuing those possessions, I think they win the ball game.
All right, it's two for the Vikings. Doug?
And I think, you know, look at the tradition that they have. You know, the kids, a lot of new starters this year, but they were on a team that's been very successful over the years. And I think that's, in these close games, that's something that can definitely be a difference maker. So I'm going to take HSTW.
All right, three for the Vikings. Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it going. Excuse me. For the Vikings there as well. I was surprised at last week's game with Nottoway Valley and Riverside. Especially with the way Nottoway Valley had been playing in the previous weeks there. So I think the Vikings, we saw them, you know, when they played Atlantic in their scrimmage, and they've seemed to really just kind of continue to get things done. The tradition's kind of there that these guys know how to know their jobs and their role, and so those little things sometimes matter in these closer ball games where they've got good matchups in there. So I'm going to go with the Vikings.
All right, so we've all got the Vikings on the road in that one. Going to go to Class 1A District 8 as Mount Air goes on the road to take on Clarinda, as the Cardinals are on a couple-game slide now here after starting off the season with a good start. Jim, who's going to win?
Well, you know, I didn't know what to think about Mount Air looking into what they had. Then I realized that what I was looking at was not the right stuff. I'm looking at statistics and this and that and the other thing. What I needed to do was look at their schedule. They really hadn't played anybody early in the season. The tough part of their schedule is coming up. I mean, they lost to Panorama last week. They've got Clarinda, then Van Meter, then ACGC. That's a pretty tough plow at the end of the season. Clarinda's kind of mixed a few of those games, and they've lost a couple of games already to some of those teams. And I think after losing to Panorama and ACGC, that's Clarinda looks at this as kind of an important game. They sit 0-2 in the district. So they're at home. I'm going to take the Cardinals.
All right. It's one there for Clarinda. Doug?
I am going to go with Mount Air. You know, I think they showed a little bit more competitive spirit against Panorama. You know, they lost 14-6. Clarinda dropped a 33-3 contest, I think, to Panorama. So I'm going to take the visiting Mount Air Raiders.
Raiders. Yeah. All right.
Nice.
Matt.
Nice. Okay. My rationale for going for Mount Air is simply the fact that Jim took Clarinda. And, you know, going down the stretch, I see this as another potential game where I can be different than him. I think this is a good toss-up game, as we have said, though, in the past. So I think this is a great opportunity for me personally, you know, to get my name etched back up on that board again this year, as I have owned the trophy, and I see that we finally do have my name up on the board. It's been sent to the engravers, so that's good to see now. Yes, good to see here in the room. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Mount Air and the Raiders over the Clarinda Cardinals. So that gave you nothing football-related in there.
No, it was all selfish.
Yes, yeah. Very selfish.
That engraving was on back order. Apologize for that.
No, we don't.
I'm with you, though. Personally, I think this is a good opportunity for me to be different than Jim. I need to catch up a game on him, and I think this is one of those toss-up games here. Peyton Wheeler's been pretty good at quarterback for Mount Air here so far, and I also noted that they've had done a pretty good job taking the ball away, 13 takeaways so far. They've got a lot of backs that they can hand it off to as well. I think they're a little bit more diverse. Like Jim said, it is a little concerning. They haven't played the type of competition Clarinda has yet, but I think Clarinda a little bit more one-dimensional. If you can slow down Connor Brown in that ground game, then you can have some success. So I'm going to give the edge here to Mount Air, winning it in kind of a similar fashion that ACGC did.
You know, and the darn thing is, this is the I kind of pre-picked all my games except this one.
And then you had the first
pick.
And
set you up for that.
Yeah,
game.
See, my strategy on this game was simply to pick what everybody else picked because as I look at it, it's kind of a relative toss-up. But yeah, there I am. That's my worst nightmare on this game.
There you go. Plan that out. We've got a couple of Class 3A District 9 games here to take a look at now as well. Glenwood, fresh off their big home win over Harlan, now goes on a long road trip to take on ADM. A couple of teams with good starts to their year. Doug, who's going to win?
Well, I hope the Glenwood fans bring their earplugs because ADM pops off that cannon up on the hill. And as an audiologist, I think it's borderline.
Good for business.
Well, it's good for business, but I think it's negligent and mean-spirited, as a matter of fact. But both these teams feature some really talented quarterbacks. You know, Glenwood last week against Harlan, basically their whole offense was passing the ball. They did not accumulate many yards on the ground at all. Zach Carr has had several great games this year for Glenwood. I think they just have a little bit more talent than ADM, who has a good quarterback as well. But, you know, ADM dropped a game to Harlan, and Glenwood just beat Harlan. So I'm going to take the Rams.
All right, one for the Rams. Matt?
Well, this is definitely going to be a good game out there on the field. Like Doug said, you know, both teams' quarterbacks, Tate Steinsmith, he does a lot of himself. If he's not throwing it, he's pulling it down and doing a lot on the ground, running the ball. On the other side of the coin, you got Zach Carr, who, you know, carved up Harlan's secondary, which I think we kind of saw that a few weeks ago, that was an opportunity. If a team could throw the ball, they were going to have some success against Harlan. I think the one thing that will definitely differentiate the two is that is the defenses, again. And, you know, ADM Glenwood was able to control Jonathan Munson in there and on all of his weapons for Harlan last week, whereas ADM really struggled with that. Munson just went off, you know, had a bunch of yards throwing and rushing the ball. And so, you know, I think you're going to see some of the same things there with Glenwood. The one thing with Glenwood, though, their road games, they've had a real tough time getting going. So hopefully they maybe get off the bus a little bit, or maybe those cannons will wake them up on their sidelines.
Could startle them away.
So, yeah. So, but I'm going to go with the Rams on the road.
All right, another one there for Glenwood. Yeah, that was a real nice win, obviously, for Glenwood last week. Pretty cool when you can say your first win on the new field came against Harlan. And somebody put this out there, and I didn't go do the research to check or not, but they said that that was the first home regular season win ever against Harlan for Glenwood, which I would find to be pretty crazy, but it's possible. Yeah, nice win for them. Zach Carr was just – that was probably one of his best games that he's had of his career, especially obviously throwing the football. And this, you know, I guess the worry would be, you know, do you have a little bit of a letdown? You go on a long road trip the next week. You're coming off a big high there at home against Harlan. That would be the concern. And this is a good enough ADM team that you know, you could go on the road and get beat. But I think Glenwood does have the better talent. And like Matt said, I think their defense is pretty solid. That will help them a lot here in this game, trying to stop that short passing game there of ADM. So I'll go with the Rams. Jim?
Well, I'm going to say the same thing Matt did, but try to say it differently so I don't completely waste my time in my research earlier in the day. Glenwood needs to, protect the ball, but also try not to fall too far behind, you know, early on in the game, because that's kind of been their problem here lately. And ADM's got to get some production out of somebody other than their quarterback. And we saw what Glenwood did to a quarterback like that in Harlan. When you've got a guy that pretty much takes care of all the statistics, they did a pretty decent job of keeping him in check. So, yep, Glenwood on the road, I think that's a winner.
All right, Rams across the board. We've got two more games left to pick here for you, and we'll do that right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA & Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.
Welcome back now to Who's Gonna Win as we continue on with our picks here for this week number 7, and we've got another one in Class 3A District 9 as Lewis Central will go on the road to take on the Harlan Cyclones, and Harlan trying to bounce back after their loss, and they got to do it against a real tough Lewis Central squad. Matt, who's going to win?
Yeah, yes, they do. Lewis Central, you would have thought there would have been maybe a little bit of a drop-off with that senior class that they had from last year, who did quite a bit for them, but that's not the case. They've kind of built a little bit of a program, and offensively, defensively, the schemes really put the kids in positions not to fail. And we're kind of seeing that with the quarterback that's taken over for, Max Dugan in there. You know, he's still completing a high percentage of passes and just doesn't make mistakes. And so I think, you know, that just goes back to the schemes that they put out there to be successful. Defensively, though, that's their bread and butter. Their defense is just phenomenal. I think they returned quite a few players in there, filled in the losses that they had very well. So I think you're going to see that's going to be definitely the turning point here. Harlan, you know, how are they going to bounce back after that loss last week? It is at home. It is at home for Harlan, and everybody knows they play very well at home. But I just have to pick the road team on this one, the Lewis Central Titans.
All right, it's one there for LC. Yeah, it's been pretty impressive here so far what Lewis Central's continued to build on, and they just seem to be a consistent team. And, you know, they've got athletes that are kind of spread out all over the field. You look across the board and some of their stats, and you look at a guy like Thomas Fidone, who's their top receiver, who's got, some good yardage. And then you switch it around, they've got a good back that's over 670 yards, and then their quarterback's been efficient. So they've been able to do it a number of different ways, and I think that's part of what makes them so tough is they're a pretty balanced team. They've got guys all over the place. Whereas Harlan, you know, it's a little bit more focus on stopping the quarterback, and you can slow him down, as Glenwood did last week. So, and in that game, Munson was just 42% passing there against the Rams. So I'm going to go with Lewis Central here. I think that the Titans pick up this win. Jim.
Very good. Yeah, defensively, they're giving up 6.5 points a game. That's pretty salty. And honestly, they've only given up more than one score in a game once, and that was in garbage time after the game was long over. So I just don't think Jonathan Munson's enough to get over the hill against this Lewis Central squad. So I'm going to take Lewis Central and get out of the way so for the third straight week, Doug can have Harlan as a limb pick.
Go for right. it.
There you go. You'd think I would, but the thing with LC, you know, they lost a quarterback in Duggan. They lost a coach in Duggan too. You know, they're breaking in on a rookie coach. Is it Cameron?
Justin,
yeah. But he's obviously taken over and they're competing the same way they did before. So they're just uber talented, and I'm going to take the Titans.
All right, Lewis Central crossed the board there in that one. Got one more game here, and it's the homecoming contest here for the Atlantic Trojans as they will take on Greene County here this week. So Atlantic coming off the road loss there to OABCIG comes back home now to take on, I guess, what would be regarded as the other top team in the district here in 2A, District 9. So I guess I get first crack here at this one. Trojans... That was pretty tough last week. It started so well once again, and then things just kind of changed momentum. You know, they got a turnover on the opening kickoff, gave them a short field, they converted, and then from there on out, it was pretty much the quarterback spot taking over on the other side there with DeGene there for OABCIG. Just a very good player. He made a lot of good decisions and really was tough for Atlantic to stop. The other thing I thought was a little disappointing for the Trojans as well is they kind of let some of that stuff from earlier in the season creep back into the game again. Some of the mental errors, the penalties started to pile up a little bit there in the second half. You know, some of the missed assignments or miscommunication, that started to become a little bit more prevalent as the game went along as they kind of got wore out. And, unfortunately, they're going to be playing a team that's got good balance here this week. It looks like Brett Riley's been doing a good job of being consistent there at the quarterback spot and not turning the ball over for Greene County. They've got a good back that's over 900 yards already this year in Colby Kafer. And then they've got a strong receiver as well. It's got over 600 yards and 8 touchdowns. So, you know, just a lot of guys that they can turn to, and it looks like a pretty multi-balanced offense for Greene County. I think Atlantic, again, is going to, you know, be right in this. They'll have the chance, I think, to win this game, and especially being homecoming, give them a little extra juice. It just be a matter if they can play that complete four-quarter clean game. But I'm going to give the edge to the team that's been playing well here lately in Greene County. They had a good win last week, pretty solid effort over Kemper Catholic, it looked like. So I'll go with Greene County here, but hope I'm wrong. Jim.
All right, I had a chance to watch that game up at Ida Grove last week. And, you know, without that opening turnover, I don't even know if Atlantic gets in the end zone last week. They just had a hard time moving the football effectively, and the passing game was just, it was hard to get started. It seemed like every time you drop back before you get that back foot set, you're having to figure out if you're going to run right or left because you got to get out of there. You know, Tyler Moen is a good ball player on either side, but he needs some additional help. Greene County's got that, you talked about, they got that trio of guys that are really solid for them right now. The QB, the running back, the wide receiver, they've all put up good numbers, and they're rolling. Greene County's pretty good right now. I like Greene County to win this one.
All right, Doug.
Yeah, I do too. You know, you've got the homecoming distractions that we always have, and, you know, depending on the weather and field conditions and everything else, change in weather tonight. So, you know, puncher's chance. You know, you've got a kid that could score anytime he touches the ball in Tyler Moen. So, you know, showing the ability to have some big plays too to some wide receivers and tight ends. But I'm going to take Greene County.
All right, another one there for the Rams. Matt?
Yeah, and Greene County is very tough. They're building off of last year's success that they had last year. So, you know, they're going to come in. And they know that Atlantic played them very tough last year. You know, Atlantic almost snuck away with the victory up there in Jefferson. So, you know, Greene County, one of their first trips down here, the Trojan Bowl this year. So that'll be an experience for them. Atlantic on the other side there. Yeah, it's just had some opportunities. Kind of, you know, one of the other things, we kind of forced ourselves into being a one-dimensional operation there, and I think we just still got to find ways to utilize some of the other talent. There's, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys on this team that you know, can do damage. You just got to find ways to get them the ball, and I think things can change real fast. So, you know, that's just going to have to happen here in these last 3 weeks to have any success. But I'm going to go with Greene County.
All right, so we're going to go Rams there across the board in that one. So that'll wrap up our Week 7 picks here for us. Stay tuned. We'll have Cam hosting Boyer Valley coming up here for you on the radio. Mike Smith will join me for the call here shortly. We want to thank Rush CPA and Associates and Ag Business Associates for bringing you Who's Going to Win each week. And that's going to do it for Week 7 here on Who's Going to Win.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
You work hard for your money. This is Ben Rush, Certified Public Accountant. Let the expert tax professionals at Rush CPA and Associates help you keep your money in your pocket. The staff at Rush CPA want to help you with your tax return, and we'll scour through it, making sure we get you the most money possible back and pay the least amount in. Trust Rush CPA. Now located in downtown Atlantic in the Whitney Manor. Call us at 712-243-7770 to prepare your taxes this season and all year long.